Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Update on the New Jersey drones. After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational, and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy. A statement from the President of the United States.
Literally, these aren't the drones you're looking for. This is, move along, nothing to see here, everything's fine. So question, I think the obvious question is, if that's correct, then why didn't the Biden administration tell us that? Or that's not the whole story. John, you want to vote on this?
Maybe they were just asleep up in the residence.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, it's always a possibility. Why, if that were the truth, why would we go for so many weeks of everybody worrying about what these things were? If that's all it was, then, you know, why wouldn't you say? Or if it's not the answer. I mean, I'm left wondering. I want to believe this. I want to believe it, but I'm not sure that I'm totally on board. 437-1620, 437-1620. First press conference by new White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt yesterday. I actually thought she did a really good job. You know, for example, talking about access to the president, which is, it is a completely different world under Trump
versus
Biden.
It's like night and day, man.
Yeah, it's awake and sleep. It's... I mean, it is completely different.
You're right.
Before I take your questions, I would like to point out to all of you once again, have access to the most transparent and accessible president in American history. There has never been a president who communicates with the American people and the American press corps as openly and authentically as the 45th and now 47th president of the United States.
Openly, clearly. Authentically. Well, I mean, you know, you make your judgments, okay? But certainly being available.
This White House believes strongly in the First Amendment, so it's why our team will work diligently to restore the press passes of the 440 journalists whose passes were wrongly revoked by the previous administration.
Talk about non-transparency, revoking people's press passes.
We're also opening up this briefing room to new media voices who produce news-related content and whose outlet is not already represented by one of the seats in this room. We welcome independent journalists, podcasters, social media influencers, and content creators to apply for credentials to cover this White House.
Good, good. And also, the first two questions went to Axios and Breitbart.
So in light of these announcements, our first questions for today's briefing will go to these new media members, whose outlets, despite being some of the most viewed news websites in the country, have not been given seats in this room.
Yeah, there's no good reason why you would only allow basically TV and newspapers and, you know, maybe radio, perhaps. You know, I mean, this just doesn't make any sense. Or magazines, like, why wouldn't you allow social media-based or website-based, right? Breitbart and Axios are, you know, web-based. Why wouldn't you allow that? It makes perfect sense. So, good to see. The question that was asked, I remember this being asked during the Biden administration, asked again during this particular first press conference, which was, what's your relationship with the truth? Like, is it your objective to be the president, or is your objective to be reliable? Kind of that's the tone.
When you're up here in this briefing room speaking to the American public, do you view yourself and your role as speaking on, advocating on behalf of the president or providing the unvarnished truth, that is, you know, not to lie, not to obfuscate, to the American people?
I commit to telling the truth from this podium every single day. I commit to speaking on behalf of the President of the United States. That is my job. And I will say it's very easy to speak truth from this podium when you have a president who is implementing policies that are wildly popular with the American people. And that's exactly what this administration is doing. It's correcting the lies and the wrongs of the past 4 years, many of the lies that have been told to your faces in this very briefing room. I will not do that.
But she followed it up with a very there was a lot that we learned yesterday about the Trump administration, and this was an example of it. It's not a surprise. It's an evolution to me, but it's very interesting.
But since you brought up Truth Seek, I would like to point out, while I vow to provide the truth from this podium, we ask that all of you in this room hold yourselves to that same standard. We know for a fact there have been lies that have been pushed by many legacy media outlets in this country about this president, about his family, and we will not accept that. We will call you out when we feel that your reporting is wrong or there is misinformation about this White House. So, yes, I will hold myself to the truth, and I expect everyone in this room to do the same.
That is an utterly fair thing to say, which is you hold me accountable, I will hold you accountable. Because you guys have sucked at your job a lot when it comes to this man. Really, really badly. And, you know, we also make mistakes or say things that are incorrect, and we need to figure this out. I'll tell you what. There was something that they rolled out yesterday that, as I say, in retrospect makes perfect sense, but it was completely unexpected. I'll tell you about it in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about. We are seeing about a 10 to 15 minute delay if you're traveling on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, about 10 to 15 minutes, so just be prepared for that. Other than that, traffic is looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a company and you have employees, you got to handle health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR management, payroll, all that kind of stuff. If you love doing that and you're doing it like sort of yourself, great. Or if, you know, somebody else is doing it and you think it's going great, also, I mean, great. You know, ignore me for a few seconds. But if you don't love doing it, you want some help, or you just want to find out if maybe there's a better way, give Torgerson Causey a call. Look, we started, working with them about 4 years ago here at News Radio in Cat Country, and they have been great. They have been fantastic. Better choices for our healthcare plans than we had before. Choices, which we didn't really have before. And they are fantastic at answering questions and getting back to us. And when we need things to be done, they take care of it. It's like, it's just, they're a very customer service oriented organization. And I love working with them. I've told you many times, my wife is an industrial engineer by trade. So she's a numbers and facts and efficiency kind of guru, if you want to think of her that way. And so she gets frustrated with insurance people a lot because they don't know what they're doing. And, you know, they don't know the answers. And they're salespeople, not detail oriented people. There have been two. In 27 years we've been married, there have been two, one from back in Illinois and Torgerson Causey, that she's like, I love these people. They're great. That's a hard endorsement to get. And, man, she absolutely does love them. Torgerson Causey, more than 20 years in business helping local businesses like yours. Give them a call today, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Back to the White House press conference yesterday. First one from Carolyn Leavitt. She's young. She's 27. She worked in the first White House. She was an intern at Fox News for a while. She ran for Congress and won the primary but lost the general. And she's been she was the press secretary for the campaign. Didn't get a lot of airtime because people would just rather play Trump. You know, when Trump is your boss, you don't need to do a lot of press. Anyway, so I was saying that they've got this new thing that they rolled out. The new thing is they are now fact-checking the media or people who say things that are false about them. Basically their headline in their release yesterday. Oh, by the way, they are sending out a ton of press releases, and it's really good because every time the president talks, they send out a transcript. The president does a gaggle on Air Force One, there's a transcript. The president talks to reporters getting on the helicopter, there's a transcript. The president speaks to the Republicans, there's a transcript. I mean, way better at pushing out information than the Biden White House ever was. A lot of that stuff would have been available on the site, but they are literally pushing it out every single day. It's almost too much, but it's like, I love that it's available because sometimes I don't have 40 minutes to watch him give a speech, but I got 10 minutes to read the transcript, you know? So anyway, so yesterday they put out three responses. They're calling it hoaxes and facts. And hoax, Senator Chris Murphy and Representative Jasmine Crockett, oh, she's wild. Anyway, and media outlets claim President Trump's directive to pause radical, wasteful government spending means an end to Medicaid, food assistance, and other individual assistance programs. Fact. Individual federal assistance programs such as Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, you think of that as food stamps, and other important programs are explicitly excluded, as was made clear by Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt and a memo from the Office of Management and Budget, OMB. Only unnecessary spending such as DEI, the Green New Scam, and federal funding non-governmental organizations that undermine the national interest are included in President Trump's directive. That's not quite true. There's some unclarity about who is and who is not. But the basic idea of direct payments to individuals continuing is correct. But there was another one that was even better than that. Hoax, part two. Governor J.B. Pritzker from Illinois and Chicago Public Schools officials claimed without bothering to verify that Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, agents had conducted a raid at a local elementary school, a false claim echoed by media outlets, including the Chicago Tribune. The Tribune. And by the way, now I can't remember. I used to know back and forth because I'd lived in Chicago for so long, but I forget if the Tribune is the conservative one or the Democrat-leaning one. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the Tribune is a reliable paper, so them getting it wrong is bad. Fact, it was actually the U.S. Secret Service investigating a threat unrelated to immigration. Unfortunate. So the last question on access and availability was...
Well, in terms of programming, sounds should we fun. Expect to see you here every day? How frequently will these press briefings be?
It is a good question, April. So look, the president, as you know, is incredibly accessible. First day here, he wanted all of you in the Oval Office. You got a 60-minute press conference with the leader of the free world while he was simultaneously signing executive orders. I may add that's pretty impressive. I don't think the previous office holder would be able to pull such a thing off. So look, the president is the best spokesperson that this White House has, and I can assure you that you will be hearing from both him and me as much as possible.
Ouch. Ouch. Oh, and one last just quick thing that I thought was kind of, it was weirdly, I'm going to play it and then I'll explain, but it was at the very end of the press conference. And this was on the White House YouTube page. I was watching this straight off the White House YouTube. So they have editing control, right? And you may not remember this, but under the Biden administration, they would routinely edit the end of the press conference when he would wander off or get asked questions or gaff around or whatever. That was very routine for them to snip off stuff at the end of the. So that's why it's entertaining to me that the very last thing on yesterday's first press conference went like this.
As for costs, I laid out the plethora of ways that President Trump has addressed saving costs for the American people over the past week. He looks forward to continuing to doing that in the days ahead. Thank you guys so much.
We'll see you soon.
One more border push.
Are Medicaid portals down in all 50 states?
There was somebody. I don't know who it was. But you know when you're in a high tension, high pressure environment, and then something, I don't know, it's bad, it ends, whatever, and you kind of under your breath just, oh, profanity. Like, you just can't, you almost can't believe it. Like, it's, you know, you're really just,
oh, fudge.
Only she didn't say fudge. Kind of a realization that it's going to be 4 years, you know, like this. And I thought, wow. And they left it in the edit. Like they left that part in. So it's just kind of, here we go. Brace yourselves. 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Who won last night's special election primary and how close was it? We'll tell you in just a moment. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Famously, the Apostle Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." What was it that the Apostle had to forget? Possibly the fact that before his conversion, he consented to the death of Stephen. Before Paul met Jesus, Paul was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and the Bible says he was injurious, which is the idea of harmful. When Paul says, "Forgetting those things which are behind," he is saying you don't have to let the failures of your past, no matter how devious, define your future. Forget those failures and reach forward to a future full of opportunity to serve Christ. Jesus wants to graciously liberate you from a life of guilt over sin and bad decisions. So call upon him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Start your year in a new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. 2024 Crosstrek model starting at $25,262. 2024 Forester Wilderness model starting at $36,222. And 2025 Outback model start at $28,868. Love is out there. Find it at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Here's Johnny!
What I want, you got, it might be. Oh, I need to clarify. Somebody texted me, and I clearly was not clear enough. Carolyn Leavitt's not the one who swore. This was one of the reporters in the room, I don't know which one, a female, who kind of under her breath but loud enough for the mics to pick up is the one who said the, oh, fudge. Right at the end, kind of the disbelieving, oh, at what she was seeing. So anyway, I apologize. I was definitely not clear enough about that. 726 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands, expert installation, and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. No accidents to report to you right now. Just seeing minor slowdown on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. I mentioned we would talk about last night. It's really yesterday's election for the primary, Republican primary in Congressional District 1. We had, 10 candidates in the slate in the field to look at, including CFO Jimmy Petronas and Joel Rudman and Aaron Dimmock and Gene Valentino. And I had said, I really, really got this wrong. I said there might even be a recount. It would be so close. Well, no. Turns out it no. Jimmy Petronas wins with 66% of the vote. 2/3. And by the way, I mean, it was higher when you get over to Walton County because that's closer to him. I actually thought it would diminish as you go westward, but it was very high in Escambia County as well. Lower in Santa Rosa County. But yeah, 66% of the vote. Joel Rudman, just under 10% of the vote. You know what? I haven't checked back this morning to see what the current number was because they had one precinct was not reporting yet from Escambia County. And yeah, that's all held. 65.74% for Jimmy Petronas, 33,000 votes, just under 10% for Joel Rudman. You had Aaron Dimmock at 6.7%, Gene Valentino at 6%, Michael Dillon Thompson, first time foray into politics for him at just under 5%, 2.5% for Greg Merk, and then everybody else was under 2%. So yeah, this is a complete annihilation of the field, which is exactly what all of the political analysts other than me were predicting. I just thought, based on the people I was talking to, I thought there were a lot of people who were not going to vote for Petronas because they didn't like that somebody was picked for them. They had skepticism about the Trump endorsement and how much that should weigh. Not a military guy versus several military candidates in the field, and didn't like the feeling of it being bought and paid for with so much campaign money. But it turns out all of those questions were wrong, and I mean, super qualified, obviously, to, certainly being CFO for 6 years and formerly being in the state house, has all the basic credentials, but a lot of other people did as well. But name recognition apparently was the thing, and the Trump endorsement. That was enough for the primary voters. So 34,000 people out of 51,000 voted. That's out of 308,000 Republicans in the four counties. So about 16% of the Republicans picked. That's about 6% of the total population picked, because about 800,000 people in the whole area. 6% of the population picked your next congressman. Because, I mean, come on, the primary is the only reason, only thing that matters. The general election is a foregone conclusion on April 1st that he's going to get, you know, the Republican is going to win. Unless, again, the Democrats organize heavily and get somebody out to vote for Gabe Vallimont and, you know, totally unpredictable outcomes. But anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A new executive order from President Trump will ban access to transgender health care for people under 19. Trump signed an executive order on Tuesday saying that the U.S. will no longer fund, sponsor, promote, assist, or support anyone younger than 19 from transitioning. Supporters say it prioritizes family autonomy. A U.S. Air Force pilot is safe after an F-35 fighter jet crashed in Alaska. Officials at the Eielson Air Force Base near Fairbanks say the pilot declared an emergency during a training flight and ejected from that plane right before it crashed on Tuesday. The Air Force says the jet had some type of an in-flight malfunction as it was coming in for a landing.
Have you seen the video?
I have not.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, the plane just is like spinning and falling
in a dead drop. Spin.
Yeah. And I know, you know, modern aviation, these planes are like designed to be unfly. They're unstable by nature is right. Kind of the thing. But yeah, this was like really vivid, and thank God he got out.
Yeah, the good news is the pilot is in stable condition and undergoing evaluations.
Absolutely. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to Tim Kinsella, who is the city administrator for Pensacola, about, for example, the Bayview Park or Bay Bluffs Park and when that's going to be done.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump's choice to be HHS Secretary faces his first confirmation hearing this morning. Fox's Lucas Thompson previews Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s opening statement.
News reports have claimed that I am anti-vaccine or anti-industry. Well, I am neither. I am pro-safety. I worked for years to raise awareness about the mercury and toxic chemicals in fish. That didn't make me anti-fish. All my kids are vaccinated, and I believe vaccines have a critical role in healthcare.
$100 billion in savings for taxpayers, the contention from the Trump administration.
They think that many federal government employees are going to reply to an email they got with the word resign. Part of that email says, if you resign under this program, you will retain all pay and benefits regardless of your daily workload and will be exempted from all applicable in-person work requirements.
Fox's Peter Ducey, America's listening to Fox News.
It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got partly cloudy skies, 49 degrees in Pensacola. Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis winning that special Republican primary for the District 1 congressional seat yesterday. That race was called about 8 minutes after polls closed, just after 7 p.m.
You know, I'm humbled beyond words. This was probably the biggest race I feel like I've personally had. I mean, I've won two statewide races, but this is different. This is a very large county commission race. You had four counties you had to win over. It was much more of a personal campaign.
That is Jimmy Patronis there talking with Channel 3 at his victory party. He now goes on to challenge Democrat Gabe Vallimont in the general election April 1st. In District 6, Brevard County State Senator Randy Fine won the primary to replace Mike Waltz, who vacated his seat to join the Trump administration as national security advisor. President Trump endorsed both Patronis and Fine. Well, a couple weeks ago, we learned that the Escambia Sheriff's Office vehicles are slowly being switched over from the green and white to solid white. Sheriff Chip Simmons says they've now acquired several of those newer vehicles, and they're very in demand with the deputies.
Well, we got about 24 to 25 that'll be coming out.
Out of some, a fleet of 300?
Oh, no, we have a fleet of about 500.
500, okay.
And for about 450 deputies.
Simmons says the deputies really like the new look of the vehicles. He says they get between 30 and 50 new patrol cars or patrol vehicles each year. They made that switch because it's cheaper to order a solid colored vehicle. Well, illegal immigrants in the state will no longer be getting in-state tuition rates at Florida colleges and universities. State lawmakers passed the Trump Act yesterday. Governor Ron DeSantis did support that change, but he said there were other parts of the bill he opposed. One of those, some immigration powers that the governor has, would be given to the agriculture commissioner instead. The bill would also make the death penalty mandatory for any illegal immigrant that commits a capital crime. The governor has 15 days to either sign or veto that bill. Police in Coral Gables stopped two vans that were transporting more than two dozen Chinese migrants. There were 26 migrants, including 17 men and 9 women. Police say they were in the process of being taken to an unknown location on Tuesday morning. Police there say they believe the migrants came by boat to the U.S. and had been moved to a secluded area in the southern portion of the city. Two alleged smugglers were also taken into custody. The Federal Reserve is holding its first meeting of the year and their first meeting since President Trump took office. Bankrate's Greg McBride says he's not expecting any interest rate cuts to be announced until inflation gets closer to the 2% mark.
They need to see a resumption of progress before they feel comfortable resuming rate cuts. So the soonest that would happen is March.
And President Trump said he would demand lower rates soon. The Fed has cut their rates for 3 meetings in a row to about 4.3% from a 2-decade high of 5.3%. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Just one disabled vehicle to let you know about that's happened to Wild Lake Boulevard and Pine Forest Road. It's a disabled vehicle in the southbound lane on Pine Forest, just north of Wild Lake Road, that's causing some delays on Pine Forest. So be aware of that. I-10, going to see a little slowdown between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will have some cloudy skies today with a high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54 degrees. On Thursday, cloudy skies with a high near 68. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Showers and thunderstorms on Friday with an 80% chance of rain, high near 70 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 49 degrees in Pensacola. It's 50 in Gulf Breeze, 46 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of luxury goods giant LVMH have dropped 6% as investors reacted cautiously to the group's slightly better than expected full year results. The owner of Louis Vuitton and Hennessy posted revenues of nearly $88.3 billion for 2024. ASML said fourth quarter net bookings came in at nearly $7.4 billion, which is up 169% quarter over quarter. The results show continued strong demand for ASML's chip-making tools, even as Chinese AI firm DeepSeek's low-cost model raises concerns over AI spending. The average contract interest rate for 30-year mortgages remained unchanged last week at 7.02%. Applications to refinance a home loan dropped 7% for the week and were 5% higher than the same week 1 year ago. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home dropped 0.4% from 1 week earlier and were 7% lower than the same week 1 year ago. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I have the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Public Works with Fred and Brandon, the famous salt spreaders from the snowstorm of 2025. What you think, Fred?
It's horrible.
It's horrible, he said. So, how'd you learn how to spread salt that good, Fred?
Brandon taught me.
What about one of you had some of this going on there? The little Mardi Gras bead throw, maybe?
A little salt seasoning, a little bead throw, an entirely inadequate amount of salt being spread from the back of the pickup truck by the City of Pensacola Public Works workers. And joining us now, by the way, not Mayor D.C. Reeves. He is out for the day or for the week. But in his stead, we have the city administrator, former commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, now city administrator for the City of Pensacola, retired Captain Tim Kinsella. Lucky, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Before we get to talking about the salt, how'd I do on choice of song?
It was perfect. Well done. It was one of my favorites. That was actually the song that me and my wife danced to during our wedding.
Just kidding. All right. So that's how it's going to be. All right. I fell for it. And that's fair enough. You know, one for you. You win. Okay. So let's do talk a little bit about this. I loved that they embraced the funny. I love that they did a video acknowledging how silly it was to be spreading such a tiny amount of salt on a street. Not that it was dry. That was fine. But on a, you know, I mean, they're in Pensacola. What do they know about preparing a street for a snowstorm, right?
Yeah, right. Actually, I talked to the directors about the yesterday and how, I don't know, I was just really proud of the guys that we owned it.
Yeah.
Right? We some folks make fun of us. Fine. That's okay. The guys are out there doing their best. And it was a funny video. So own it. You know, just make it ours. Make it our own. We throw the words historical and unprecedented around a lot. But this was historical. It was unprecedented. And we don't know the first thing about how to prepare for a snowstorm. We were learning on the job. So, it was. I thought it was great, that video. It was perfect.
I know. And by the way, I think that one of the great kudos for the city of Pensacola is that, you know, I guess through D.C.'s connection with the mayors and the organization that he goes to all the time where he meets all these mayors, is that that's what allowed you guys to secure the snowplows. I would have never in my life thought we'd see snowplows running around through downtown Pensacola, but that was a big advantage too, is having, you know, plows and a fairly large amount of salt in the end was actually distributed. But, you know, those are good things that you guys get kudos for.
Yes. So in the entire Northwest Florida, there's two snowplows for the entire of the Northwest Florida, and they're not in Pensacola. When we wanted to declare an emergency as soon as possible so we could give the mayor the tools that he needed and we needed to be able to spend the money we needed to do. So getting those snow plows was, it was actually our public works director, Amy Tootle, working with some of our partners in here in the area, Rhodes Incorporated, and they were able to bring down some plows down from Atlanta.
Oh, so we got five. It was Rhodes Inc. Okay. No, that's interesting. Florida. So it was Rhodes Inc. That's interesting. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. But the Amy called me, I mean, as right after right when we started really preparing for it. And she's like, "Ben, Tim, I got some great news. We got 5 snowplows from Atlanta." I says, "You're kidding me." He says, "Nope, they're on the road right now. They're driving down." And they were the saving grace, because our number one concern was that we kept those major arteries clear for emergency vehicles, because we knew there was going to be emergencies during the storm. There was either going to be fires, medical emergencies, police emergencies. So to get those vehicles to the residences and then to the hospitals if necessary, and I'm really glad we did, because there were several fires, there were medical emergencies or police emergencies that, if it wasn't for those snowplows, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Cervantes, Pace, Garden, Davis Highway, Airport, Brent. I mean, you know, it was really well done to keep those roads open so that first responders could, you know, get to where they need to go. People could get to the hospital if they needed, you know, the key parts of that. What's in the debrief? Yeah. What did you guys learn for, God forbid, next time? The answer certainly can't be invest in a lot of anti-snow, you know, paraphernalia, because it's an unproductive. But I assume what you were thinking about was, how can we prearrange, joint use agreements or memorandums of understanding, mm-hmm. or reciprocity agreements, so that we have this in place in the future if we have to prepare. Is that right?
Yeah. I've been through a few crises in my life, and to be honest with you, I'm kind of getting over being in a leadership position for all these unprecedented things that happen in a crisis.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the important thing in any crisis are about people. Number one, they're always about people, the people being affected and the people that are responding to it. And I don't care what kind of a crisis it is, whether it's a financial crisis or it's a natural disaster, whatever it is, it's always about people. And in order to get the resources appropriate to stem the bleeding in any crisis, it's all about the decision points and having the ability to make the right decisions, having the right people in the room to make those decisions, and having the right authorities to be able to do it and do it quickly. So that was my number one focus from the beginning of this, and setting the city up in a way that the mayor had the information that he needed and support that he needed to be able to make decisions when necessary, so we could get our people the things that they needed. And out of everything that happened, I think that was probably the most important thing. That was the thing that allowed us to be so flexible and get this stuff done, just allowing our folks to do their job and giving them the authorities that they need and the funding that they needed to be able to go and do it.
Look at that. If you make an organization full of experienced and good decision makers, you'll get good results in the end. Makes sense to me. We're talking to Tim Kinsley. He's the city administrator for the city of Pensacola. Lucky, hang on for just a second. Let me get John in here with traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest Road, we're seeing some heavy delays there due to construction. Also, Highway 90 coming from Pace into Pensacola southbound, going to see about a 10-15 minute delay as you try to get to either 9 Mile or Scenic. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Tim Kinsler. Tim, one of the things I definitely wanted to ask you about, of course, I know you're well aware, yesterday the White House put out this sudden announcement that all funding to everybody was going to be paused. And then they, you know, kind of came out with some clarification that it wouldn't affect things like direct payments to individuals through Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, or SNAP. But still, you know, we know that the county is now doesn't know what's going to happen with their initiative to buy electric vehicles for ECAT and a couple of other initiatives. What does the city see? It's now been paused by a judge, so the pause is paused. But still, Monday, everything could change. What are you guys doing to prepare? What do you see being potentially in jeopardy?
Great question. So yesterday my number one focus was to understand what programs were under jeopardy within the next 24 to 48 hours, because after spending 32 years in the federal government, I knew that this was going to eventually work itself out, that we would get clarity. It was unfortunate that the memo from OMB didn't really give the clarity that a lot of municipalities and counties and other organizations needed to understand what was going to get cut. When you read the memo, you think, oh, it's this, it's that. Yeah, that's clear. It's really not. Federal funding is really complex. And the amount of programs that touch our citizens that are done so by federal dollars is huge. One of the biggest ones was our Section 8 housing. Really, our entire housing department is run through federal dollars. So we needed to understand what the repercussions were to those citizens that are expected rent. And that's 1,800 citizens that are elderly, that are disabled, that are in dire need, that qualify for that Section 8 housing. So and this also coincided with the end of the month when rent was due. So we had to understand what we were going to do to try and allay the fears of the landlords that were expecting the checks, but more importantly, those residents that expect to have a roof over their heads for the next 30 days.
So we kind of
had a plan in place, but fortunately, thank goodness, HUD came out at the end of yesterday to say that after they got clarification from OMB to say that Section 8 housing would not be affected. So that was really the biggest one that I was worried about. All the other things, the big projects that we're working on, like funding for the American Magic Hangar, for Hollis T. Williams Stormwater Park, all of those were long-term projects that if I don't have clarification in the next week or 2 weeks, that's okay. We can, because they're long-term and some of those projects haven't started yet, but really getting to understand in the next 24 hours, what's going to affect us? How are we going to be able to mitigate that? Because I knew within a few days, everything started getting clarity. And I think you're going to start seeing that over the next couple of days on a Monday, Tuesday. We've already seen lawsuits against the federal government by states. That's going to force the government to clarify themselves. There's members of Congress that are, their phones are ringing off the hook from citizens, municipalities, states to try and get clarity on exactly what this means. So I think the White House is going to come out with clear direction here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and it's a bit of an unfortunate situation for us because we don't have a congressman right now, so you don't have that direct access. Of course, you have Senator Scott and Ruby. Well, and Senator Scott, and I guess Senator Moody. Anyway, yeah, I guess, you know, so you do have some access, but getting clarity, as you say, is going to be the key. I would imagine the grant writers at the city are also kind of like, all of a sudden, the whole world might be different because, you know, one of the things that D.C. has done so effectively in his administration is you go out to get other people's money, you know, and now all of that stuff may change. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But I appreciate that perspective. And it's good news to hear that at least the most urgent need for the people who depend on the money for their rent is, you know, that's going to be OK. One of the things that I was curious about is city council took some action last time around on the Bay Bluffs Park. Am I right in thinking that we might start to see actual construction / demolition activity maybe this summer? And do we know yet really what the long-term shape of the park reopening is going to look like?
Let me just so citizens understand, this is a $2.2 million grant that we got from the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, but actually we didn't get it. It has to be administered through Conservation Florida. So what happened in the last city council was that council gave us permission to enter into an agreement with Conservation Florida. Now Conservation Florida has to work with the Department of Environmental Protection to actually get that $2.2 million. So they are just a flow through where that money is going to come to us. So if folks are wondering why is this taking so long, this is the burdensome part of getting grants from outside entities. The project is, we want to do this right. We've got, as with a lot of these grant projects, we've got one chance to do this right and do it right for the citizens. So we want to get citizen input. We want them to be part of the solution to what the Bay Bluffs Park is going to look like. I've heard, we put out that it might take about 2 years, you know, trying to have it done by 2027. I'd like to see it done sooner.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking into a lot of projects within the city that we can perhaps change how we do business a little bit and try and speed those up to get the citizens the use of that park. It's such a beautiful asset for the city and for the residents that I'd really like to see us getting it done sooner. But we got to do it right. We got to do it. And that sometimes takes a little bit longer than we would like. Plus, the fact that we've got so many projects going on in the city that if you just take one of them, it would be a generational project just by itself. So we're juggling a lot of balls, and we've got to make sure we get them all done right.
No, that's true. And you know what? I had been conflating in my brain, I think, the Baptist project where it looks like maybe we're going to see something this year with the Bay Bluffs Park. So appreciate you. That's gives me a more realistic time. Disappointing that it still might be 2 years, but I understand sometimes these things kind of, they are what they are, especially with the limitations of working through a third-party agency funding, so I appreciate that. Go ahead, what were you saying?
If I tell you it's 2 years and we get it done in a year, then I'm your office.
Wait, no, that's fair. It's that expectation setting. All right, we're almost completely out of time, but I did want to ask you. I think by my count, you've been on the job about 6 months. So this is my my 6 month review question. What's the one thing that you've learned that was the most surprising since taking the job?
How much I love it. I swear to God, this is one of the funnest jobs and the most rewarding jobs I've almost ever had, except when I was a squadron commanding officer. That's the closest thing this compares to. And it's because when I was base commander, I loved the work and I loved the job, but I didn't have the resources or the authorities to do what I thought needed to be done. Here I do. Here we have the resources and we have the authorities to be able to make real change that affects citizens every single day. And in my mind, if you're working in public service, you couldn't work in a better place to do that. The federal government is so frustrating because things take so long. If citizens think things take a long time here in the city, man, it's lightning speed compared to what you see at the federal or state government. And the people in the city are amazing. They love this place. They work hard. The amount of hours those folks put in over the storm, it was eye-watering. So it is absolutely how much I'm enjoying this and how much fun it is.
Tim Kinsella is the city administrator for the city of Pensacola. Lucky, great to talk to you. Always appreciate the insight. Appreciate the leadership that you represent in the city and the work that your folks are doing. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
You bet. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I did it to myself. That's the first time I've ever done it to myself where I turned my own mic off.
Wait a second. I didn't touch anything this time.
John, why did you turn my mic off right then? Oh, it was all me. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the live. It's live radio, man. You know, mistakes happen. Sometimes self-inflicted wounds. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Pine Forest through that construction zone, you're going to see some delays, maybe a 15 to 20-minute delay. Also, if you're traveling Highway 90 coming from Pace into Pensacola, we've got backups, maybe a 20-25-minute delay trying to either get to 9 Mile or Scenic Highway. Just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic is rolling good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Electricity powers everything we do in Florida. You deserve a power company that delivers reliable electricity every single day. At FPL, our crews have undergrounded more power lines, installed stronger poles, and built a smarter, more resilient grid to deliver reliable electricity where you need it, when you need it. FPL, working for you every single day. See how at fpl.com/value.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss this Friday at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I've been dancing on top of cars and stumbling out of bars. I follow you through the dark, can't get enough. You're the medicine and the pain, the tattoo inside my brain. Baby, you know it's obvious. I'm a sucker for you.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez will be sentenced in a Manhattan court today. Prosecutors are considering a 15-year prison sentence. Menendez's legal team argues he should get less than 2 years because of his age.
If he committed a crime, 2 years is nothing. It's like a smack in the hand. He deserved more.
Politicians get away with anything, like, all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't even get 2 years. Maybe he gets, like, 1 year.
I give him 13 years.
Some reaction there. Menendez stepped down from the Senate last July after being convicted on bribery charges. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be going before a Senate committee today. He's been picked to head the Department of Health and Human Services. He'll be going before the Senate Committee on Finance, where they'll be asking about plans for Medicare and Medicaid. And Starbucks is apparently planning to cut about 30% of its menu options by the end of this year. It's part of the coffee chain's efforts to stop losing customers after four quarters of straight dipping sales numbers.
When you say menu offerings, you mean coffee alternatives or you mean food stuff, or did they specify?
They didn't specify.
Okay. It
might be just kind of across the board.
I wonder if it's really getting rid of, like, if it's coffee, I mean, how do you get rid of, you might make the board simpler, but yeah. You know, the ingredients
probably
are all there to
food.
Make all of the things. You can still, yeah. I assume, request all of the, you know, the illegal items, so to speak, or whatever.
Yeah, I would guess it's more on their food, because who gets that anyway?
Exists.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.